But other guys can do it. Okay, we continue in the Rambam. Hilchas Bias HaMikdash, Perek Beis Halacha Tes. The Rambam is discussing various people who cannot do certain avodos. And one of them is an onain, which the Rambam is presently going to define for us exactly what an onain is. We are told that the avoda of an onain, of a regular kohen, is possible. It's an invalid avoda, as opposed to a kohen, and is more than that, and that a regular kohen can't eat the kutchum either. What? Hilchas Bias HaMikdash, Perek Beis Halacha Ches. So a Kohen Hedjo cannot serve when he's an onain, cannot eat kutchum when he's an onain. Right. And the other night, Kohen Gadol cannot eat kutchum, but his avoda, he does the avoda. That is the distinction between that. But now, the Rambam, after telling us the laws of an onain, has to tell us what an onain is. And we're going to see there's a distinction between what's called an onain de oraisa and an onain de rabbanan, that the Rambam previously referenced the ona de oraisa.
Now, so we'll learned see this from Aaron?
Yes. We're not going over that. We're just going straight. I just recapped a little bit here.
Right.
Halacha tes. Ezel onain. What's the are we all up to speed here?
Yes.
Yeah. Ezel onain.
On the same screen.
What is an onain? That's if a relative of his dies, to which he is obliged to be an ovel and sit shiva for them, which includes father, mother, son, daughter, brother, and sister.
And wife.
Ve'echov ve'achoso me'echov. It's interesting, the commentary Lamaches does not say to wife.
Brother and sister aren't
does not say to wife.
No.
Look at the commentary. Lamed Ches. Hilchas Ovel Halacha Aleph. Doesn't say that. Ve'echov ve'achoso me'achov. It doesn't say ishto. Okay, anyway.
It's a little controversial.
Anyway, that's what the commentary brings right over here.
Okay, I know.
I'm not reading any different what it says. All right, anyway, and he's chayav to mourn for them. Now, let's understand clearly the terms here. Biyom HaMisa Bilvad, on the day of death alone, Hu HaNikra Onein Din Torah. He is called a biblical Onein from the time of the death until we will see exact for the balance of the day. Okay, that is whenever the Onein dies, let's say, not the Onein, the dead person dies,
yeah.
Let's say Sunday morning, the relative is an Onein until nightfall.
Not till burial?
Forget about burial. We bury them on that day. Just right now, dying on that day, that's all. If, let's say, they die at night, then you're an Onein Daraisa the whole night, the next day, it's still the same day, until nightfall. That is what we call an onain din Torah, and therefore, if a kohen hedja would do his avoda when he is an onain biblically, the avoda is possible. And that is the Torah law of aninus, regardless of the burial. The person died on this, the relative died on this day, you're an onain doraisa until nightfall. Now, the rabbi stepped in, velaila, and the night following the nightfall, Hu onain midivrei sofrim is a rabbinical onain, and to that extent, it would not be machal the avoda.
Right.
Okay, it's only rabbinically he's an onain, but it would not be machal the avoda. He could not eat kutchim, but it would not be machal the avoda if he did it. He shouldn't do it, but if after the fact.
Lessening the biblical.
Well, it's not biblical.
He's biblically, he's not an onain. The rabbis want to still be an onain rabbinically, so they extended it. But we don't extend it that if you did do the avoda, even though you shouldn't be doing the avoda, we won't invalidate the avoda. All right? And we'll see there will be other differences as well. Now, let's say, though, so generally speaking, person dies, he's buried that day. But what if the burial is delayed? Now, what happens to the laws of aninus? Yud. And we'll see now further differences in rabbinic aninus as we will develop this. Yud. Umeis shesha yomim. Let's say a person dies and it's been delayed for a couple days. V'yachar kach nikbar. Then he is buried. So again, let's say he died on a Sunday and was buried on a Wednesday, let's say. So Sunday that they died, the relative is an onein d'oraisa until nightfall.
Right.
But it's still another 2 days until the burial.
Rabbinical.
So kol osa hayomim she'achar yomami. So all the subsequent days after the day of death, so going on from Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, let's say, till the burial, hu onein midivrehem. Only a rabbinic onen. So the rabbinic aninus extends until the funeral, until the burial, as it were. Normally a person dies, he's buried that day. I mean, generally speaking. And regardless of if he's buried in the morning, the afternoon, you're an onen d'oraisa, that day the person dies until nightfall where the rabbinic kicks in. But if now he's not buried at all, and he's buried later on, the rabbinic aninus continues, okay? V'chein yom ha'kfura, even if the burial is on Wednesday, still rabbinic aninus. And when does the rabbinic aninus stop? It would seem till the end of that day. Let's say the burial's Wednesday, 12 o'clock.
Till
sunset of Wednesday. But now, although we said before that the biblical aninus is on the day of death and the rabbinic is on the night after, but since we already stretched the rabbinic into a few days already, so now the day, the night after the burial, ve'eno tofes lelo, it doesn't grab on the night, and the night isn't rabbinic at all. It's completely not an onen at all.
It's just when the burial happens.
Because that's finally the aninus d'rabbanan. So what again? So best person dies on Sunday. So the relative is an onen d'oraisa on Sunday till nightfall. There's been no burial. Okay, so the rabbinic aninus now from nightfall continues until the day of the burial, and then that continues until nightfall of the day of the burial, the rabbinic aninus. And then by nightfall...
So it does continue until nightfall.
Yes, because it's still that day of the burial.
The day,
so, but by nighttime, nothing. It's totally finished.
Can you just have to do something? Don't we say not till nightfall, and then we just say by nightfall?
No, I said the rabbinic aninus goes until nightfall, even of the day of the burial.
Even if it's extended?
Yeah, yes. But now it does not continue into nightfall.
Well, why would it be?
It stopped. Well, because we had a rabbinic nightfall aninus after the biblical day
even
ended.
The biblical ends at nightfall, right?
I understand, but we added onto nightfall. We're just saying the night doesn't continue. That's all we're saying. It doesn't continue.
So
okay, Lefikov. Therefore, he gives a for instance.
Misha
meis lo meis. Someone dies on him. Ukvara, and he buries him. Laachar yom hamisa, after the day of death. How many days after doesn't matter. From one to multiple days, kol yom hakfura, the entire day of the burial, where you are rabbinically an onain, you should not ein a makriv. You should not rabbinically do any service in the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbinically, you shouldn't do it. Ve'eina ochel bekadoshim midivreim, and you don't eat any holy foods. All rabbinically, you don't do it. The rabbis are still saying he's an onain. But then, what does he do? There is an interesting thing. Even though he has not come in contact with the dead, he has not. We're speaking where he didn't come in contact with the dead. Still, the tovel, he still has to go to the mikvah after that aninus is over. For ochel erev, and then he can eat kachim at night. That's the way it should be done. And similarly, we have other situations. What about, there's another idea, what if you don't know, you were not aware of his close relative dies? They lived in another city. And you find out, there's the news that they died much later. Now there's two types of finding out. One is called a shmua krova. You hear the information in a relatively close period of time, which is considered up to 30 days.
Yeah.
It's called a shmua krova. After 30 days is a Shmua Rechoka. There's different halachas about that. We're not going to get into Shmua Rechoka in this Rambam. We're going to Shmua Krova. So let's say you're a Kohen and you find out, let's say 28 days ago, your brother died.
Okay.
Now, you have to have some kind of aninus for some period. So what is this? We're going to find out what the halacha is. Similarly, re-interment of bones. Mm. Let's say a person was died 2 years ago and buried. Now, whatever, he wants to be reinterred to the patriarchal place to go to Eretz Yisrael, place, whatever. Right. So there's certain cases where reinterment is permitted. Reinterment does take on some laws of aninus when there's reinterment. Mm-hmm. So now, what's going to happen in these cases for the Kohen over here? The Yom Shmua Krova, the day you hear about a recent passing within 30 days. The Yom Likud Atzamos, and a day where the bones are now reinterred. Okay, so what happens is, what's the status of those two times? Harehu kiyom kvura. It is considered like the day of burial, but she'ena tofais leilo, it doesn't grab the night, even rabbinically. Okay, so really not even the rabbanan, because these are only the rabbanan. In other words, as opposed to real death, that was today, which is a biblical aninus. When you find out a distant passing within 30 days, it at best, even though you hear about it, is a rabbinic aninus. Because it's not the actual death. It's news to you. Okay, it's, biblically there's no aninus if you find out 28 days later.
Right,
nothing. The rabbi says should be an onin for the day. When you reinter bones, there shouldn't be, there biblically is no aninus, because it's not the same thing. I mean, obviously, when a person dies on you this day, there's a tremendous amount of acute mourning. No question about it. When you find out a brother of yours died 28 days ago, I mean, we're not saying you're not going to feel bad, but it's not as acute as, well, when did he die? 28 days ago. Okay, you're sad, you're this, you're that, but it's not like you're right there when he died. Yeah. Right? So therefore, biblically, there's no aninus in either that or reinterment. But the rabbis call you an onen for that day only till nightfall. So what do you think is going to be the night after? Just like we said before, when the delay of the burial. So therefore, the subsequent night is nothing. That's the point. That's what he's saying. Sharehu kayom kvura. It's like the day of burial and a rabbinic delay. Shena tofes leil. It doesn't grab the night. I feel it even rabbinically. Lefir, therefore, what does he have? What can he do that night already? The kohen. Tovel, he may go to the mikvah, va'ocha b'gushov, and he can eat kachim at night, just like the case before. Avol yom hamisa, but the day of death itself, kishem she'osr lecho bo kachim min haTorah, the day of death where it's biblical, now we're going back to biblical aninus, that just like we know you cannot eat kachim biblically. So now, kach osru lecho b'leilu, so the night after, when the rabbinic, their actual rabbinic plugs in, they may not eat as well afterwards. Rabbinically, we don't eat.
So when? Till burial?
No, no, but that night, finished.
Oh, okay, so he's buried.
We're talking about the actual, where that day, the guy died that day, when there's biblical aninus, so that night, it's rabbinic. The next morning already, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Okay, now that's going to be something. You can't even eat kachim. Now they're good. That's a good rule, but there's only one case where it's going to be a major problem.
Pesach.
What if your relative dies on Erev Pesach?
Yeah, now you got to eat the Korban Pesach, man. It's the same.
Now what are you going to do? Your relative dies on Erev Pesach, so we could.
So
now kachim stamos. You don't have to eat kachim. You don't have to eat kachim. But the person's died and buried on Pesach.
Yeah. Well, no, Erev Pesach.
Died and buried on Erev Pesach. Thank you. Erev Pesach. So now, he was an onen d'oraisa in the day.
Ah.
The rabbis say, should still be an onen d'rabbanan, generally speaking. You shouldn't eat any kachim.
That night.
But what are you going to do? You're going to eat kachim, but you have a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa to eat Korban Pesach, and if you don't, you get kores. So therefore, chutz min ha-pesach bovad, with the exception of Korban Pesach, if you must eat it at night,
you may.
Because since the whole aninus is only derabonon, okay, so eating kachim stamazoi, okay, it's a mitzvah saseh to eat kachim, so okay, the rabbis could say, don't do this, you don't have to do this mitzvah, if you're a coin, just eat some korban shlomim, you don't have to eat korban shlomim,
right.
But you can't be mavatl korban pesach, which is doraisa with a chi of kares, that you can't do. Kamoshi bar gomen, as will be explained in its place.
So we're not making go against rabbinic law. Rabbinic law just changes to say eat the korban pesach.
The rabbis only applied it where it's not going to be a very big problem.
Right.
Okay, so stamazo, you're a kohen. Yeah, you'd like to eat some kachem. So the rabbis say, listen, you're still an onein to rabbanan. Don't eat kachem. Okay, it's not the end of the world. But to not eat a korban pesach, now that's really bad. And that's therefore, the rabbis never applied the stringency to make it be they shouldn't eat the korban pesach. Okay, yud alf.
Are you changing subjects now?
You want to ask a question?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Maybe we don't want to go there, but...
Probably we don't. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go
today,
ahead.
Today, the definition of an onei, not kohen, just a regular person, is it at the after burial or is it until night falls, even now?
It doesn't matter.
Biblical drabbanon. We have so rabbinically.
Like, are they required to rabbinically, make brachas
we tell rabbinically, we tell you not to make brachas
after burial, like till nightfall.
No. We no.
That's what I'm asking.
We just say you're an onein until the funeral is over.
Yeah, that's what I always understood. So I
period.
Just wonder whether this
period.
Derisa,
that's it. That's all.
So this derisa.
This is all. Apply. This is all for avod of the kohanim. This is all nogeh the kohanim over here. Can the kohanim eat kachim? Can the kohanim do their avoda? That's the Doraisa halachas over here.
A regular person these days.
It's not really nogea so much. It's just for nogea that you're an onein until, because then you start your avelus. We're not kohanim. It's a different or non kohanim. There's different laws for non kohanim. But for us who are non kohanim, so the aninus ceases immediately
at burial.
However, still we look at this a machlokus, but we generally don't put tefillin on.
Yeah,
because that aspect of aninus, so to speak, hangs on.
If it's still daylight, you wouldn't put tefillin.
You know, generally we don't put tefillin on that day.
I think we talk about making up stuff when you get back from the
funeral. Okay. Let's move on. Yud Aleph.
But a kohen wouldn't be any different than a regular person now for these laws of aninus.
Well, he doesn't bring a korban and he doesn't eat kachim, so it doesn't
matter.
Right,
but he's finished.
He would no longer be an onen because it's not nogea. The whole thing of aninus with kohanim is from the story of Aaron.
Right.
That's also with Aaron. So how do we apply an onein to a kohen who has to do his avoda? When his two sons died, Hashem said, you'll still do the avoda, but you can't eat the kachim.
Because he's kohen gadol.
So that was a kohen's law in aninus. And that was the real biblical application. If you're not a kohen, all these halachas, none of them are biblical. Not making brachas is only to rabbanon.
Right.
What can't you not do? Okay. Okay, say the Kriya Shema. Okay, right. but that's all. So it doesn't really have such heavy. I mean, kohanim is serious business. You bring a korban. You're not allowed to bring a korban. That's a serious business over here. You're a regular Jew. There's not much serious business going on in your life.
Maybe.
Okay, but these are all non-essentials, as we'll say, or you get big punishments, as it were. The rabbis could say, even if it's only rabbinic or whatever, say, okay, don't make brachas. Okay, fine, don't make brachas. All right, Yudal. Ho-avel. Now, here's another thing. Now we're going to talk about a regular oval now. Not a kohen, a regular oval. And we're going to see again where it interfaces with real biblical business over here. Now, an oval cannot leave his house. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Could an oval, regular Yisrael, he wants to go, second day of Shiva, he wants to go to Yerushalayim and bring a korban shalom.
Can't leave his house.
He can't leave his house. So give me a solution, maybe.
Send somebody else.
Send a shaliach. Okay, but the korban's in whose name?
His name.
My name. So can you send a messenger to bring a korban on your behalf during your shiva? That's the next issue here.
Absolutely not.
So Yudalf. Ha'avel eina mishaleach korbanosov. And let's add in midirabonan. Rabbinically, kol shiva. He cannot send a korban during the entire shiva because there's a pasuk over there. It talks about... shlomim, and it says the pasuk like this: Vim zevach shlomim korbano. The pasuk says. Rambam doesn't quote this; the commentaries. If his korban is a shlomim of his korban, which the rabbis learn from that, is you bring a shlomim when you are, as it were, shalem, when you're wholesome and complete. That's the drasha, and your mind is with you. Okay, so therefore you can't. So the rabbis now take from that pasuk. Therefore, when you're an onein, you're not such a shalem person, and therefore, when it says, and then it continues, it says eshad, and there's other things as well. So it says kol korbano, meaning any other types of korban. So we're going to see, since you're not in that good state of mind, so obviously you're not going to leave your house, but you can always send a shliach, but that shliach is still relating back to you. So it's like you brought the korban. Well, you can't bring a korban if you're not in a wholesome state of mind, basically. Now that's only rabbinically. Biblically, if you brought it, we're not going to say it was a not allowed korban. But the rabbis are saying you shouldn't be bringing such korbanos. So therefore, not only you can't bring a korban, but any donations for the mizbeach right now cannot be done. Afilu yain, even a donation of wine for a nesach, o etzim, or wood, o lavona, or frankincense, cannot be done. And that is all rabbinically, because the rabbis say you're not in a pleasant state. Okay, but now move on to another person who's got a negative against him.
So this is an ovel, therefore, if he's a biblical ovel.
Now you understand why. What's one of the minhagim in a shiva house? No? What part of prayers?
Oh, you miss out, right.
Some say to skip.
The Mizmor Latoda.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the Korban.
Yeah.
The Berachas Kohanim.
Berachas Kohanim, you don't say.
It's all part of Avoda, right? So we just, there's a machlokas about korbanos. Some say we do say korbanos, whatever, for everybody else. But you see certain aspects of the korban and that kind of stuff, that's happy stuff, we don't do. It's reflective of offerings brought when you have to be in a happy state. We're not going to say it in a shiva house. So that makes sense. Very good. Right? So that's one person who, rabbinically, we have pushed out of there.
But it's through his whole avelus.
Now we're going to move on to, biblically now, what about a metzora? No, no, Mitzora.
You said this was biblical to begin with. You just said.
No,
biblically.
No, no. I said an Ovel, biblically, could, the Korban could be brought in his behalf, only rabbinically.
Okay.
Rabbinically. That's one thing. Now we're shifting gears a little bit. We're going to talk about Mitzora now on a biblical level. Okay? V'chein Mitzora. Now, in Mitzora, we understand what for 7 days he's away from everybody, right?
Yeah.
Then it says, on the eighth day, finally, ubiyom bo'o, on the day he now can come, he goes to the Shar Nikanor and they do with his thumbs and all that stuff over there, right? And then it says he brings his korb machatas. So it says, on the day that he can come, he brings his korb machatas. In other words, when he's worthy to come, then he's worthy to bring a korban, which implies if he's not worthy to come, he's not worthy to bring a korban. So now let's talk about a mitzora. What if he wants to send a shaliach for a korban?
No.
V'chein mitzora eina mishaleach korban asav. The mitzora cannot bring any korban. Since this would be doraisa now, this would be biblically, calls man sheina roi labil amachana. As long as he's not allowed to enter into the camp, which would not be until, that's the machana levia, okay, which is the Har HaBayis,
right,
okay,
right.
It's not the machana, the machana shechina is already what the machana Yisrael. You can't go in there, so he can't, till he can go in the machana, in royal akrav, he can't bring any korbanos. Okay, that's clear. Now we have a question, now the third category is a questionable category, very unique shaila the Gemara raises, and Gemara wasn't quite sure how to deal with it. And what's that? Someone who has been excommunicated. Now let's think about what are the issues with a person who's excommunicated. We'll bring it all up. We'll explain the two sides of the issue. The Rambam doesn't bring it down. The commentaries explain it. Avol hamenuda, someone who's been excommunicated, yesh lo suffik. There's a question in the Gemara that they don't resolve. Im mishalech, if he can send him a korban. V'imein mishalech, if he can't. What's the shaila revolving around? Well, we know that there was an entire period after the Chet Hamaraglim.
Right.
All of a sudden, Hashem, as it were,
left.
He the Shekhinah left for 38 years.
38 years.
And we were all kind of excommunicated from God.
No prophecy.
We're excommunicated from God. All those years that we were there, we were able to still bring korbanos. We're able to bring korbanos. All right, the Gemara had a shaila that, you know what? Okay, so what do we see? If you're excommunicated from Hashem,
still bring korbanos.
You could still bring korbanos. Gemara has a shaila, well, what if you're excommunicated from people? So you're going to wonder, well, what should the difference be? Well, there's one real minor, you could say, well, maybe only if you're excommunicated from God, you could. But maybe with a man, it might be, you could say, well, it's not as bad, it's not. It wasn't God, so maybe you could also.
It's like a mitzvah.
Wait a minute, there's another problem. Anyone's excommunicated, no one's allowed to be in his Dalet Amos.
Right. So
how
do you
that would
get
mean?
The korban?
If this guy brings a korban, everybody has to clear out of the Beis
HaMikdash. Yeah, that's right. Clear it out.
It's like when
he says, I want to bring a Corban. I'm going to bring a Corban. Okay, you all got to leave so I can bring my Corban.
Like when Pence came to the Kotel.
What, everybody left?
Looked like it. When they took pictures of
When everybody comes, they clear the Kotel. When it's security.
I don't think it has to do with time.
Okay, so that's their Shiloh. It could be a person who's excommunicated to mankind is worse than being excommunicated to Hashem, right? Because we can't stand in his Arba Amos, so therefore maybe he's not exactly like a Mitzora, because a Mitzora can't go in at all. But this guy technically could go, but the problem is everybody else is the problem. So we weren't sure how to deal with him. We don't know how to deal with him.
Suffing.
So since we're not sure to deal with him, so best he shouldn't bring. But what if he sent someone and they brought it for him? Right? So Lafika, and obviously if you can't come, you can't send a Shaliach. Right? So, but we're not sure about him. So therefore, Lafikach, im he krivalov, if he did send somebody and they did it, Nirtza, his obligation is satisfied. Let's say he gave a nedava. He made a voluntary offering a month ago and now he was excommunicated. So, well, I'd like to take care of my voluntary offering. He shouldn't lechachila, but if he did it, we'll say it will be accept. Let's do one more to finish up, a few small one to finish up the perek. Okay, what if someone is a Tamei Sheretz ukiyotzaba? Someone who is tumme because he came in contact with a rodent, okay, and he has a tumma. This is not a tumma that does not exude from himself, but he got from outside, which is a lower level of tumma. We'll get more detail in the next parak. We'll go much more into detail on this. We'll just skim this through right now. Ukeyes or anyone similar, these people are all allowed to go to the Ezra's Noshim. Okay, that it, you're all out to Machana Leviya. Okay, they're allowed to go that far, to the exclusion of a Zov, who has tumas that emit from their body, that can't come to the Ezra's Noshim, which we'll see in the next chapter, more details. So that kind of tumah, Veha Orel, a person who's not circumcised, okay, what if they want to send Korbanos? Okay, now, but they can go all the way to the Ezra's Noshim. So since you can go all the way to Ezra's Noshim, all these other people couldn't. The Ovel, the other people, they couldn't even go to the Ezra's Noshim. No. These people who can go to the Ezra's Noshim, Mishachas, they can send their korbanos with somebody else, Umakrivim Aleim, and you can even bring offerings for them. Chutz mi Pesach, except for the Korban Pesach.
Well,
interesting,
you can't
because we can't shecht it for, unless someone who can eat it.
Right, you got to be circumcised.
Now, if you're, you can only bring a Korban Pesach for somebody who could eat. You don't have to be in Yerushalayim with a Korban Pesach list brought. Someone can bring it for you, but they only can bring it for you if you could eat that Korban Pesach.
You're
now, if you're tame and you couldn't eat it now, we can't bring it for you. So therefore, exception of a Korban Pesach, Shein Shoich Denelsa Al Tomei Sharetz. We don't shech the Korban Pesach for someone who's a Tomei Sharetz, as long as he hasn't gone to the mikvah. Vein Shochan Al Arpas, and certainly an uncircumcised
can't
person.
He can't
you don't shech for him that. Can we say? Aval Tomei Mace, but someone who's a Tomei Mace was even worse. Amar Krim Lov Korban Klal. We don't bring a Korban for him at all. Akshitar, until he is totally purified after the 8 days of that bechlal, we're not going to give him any breaks at all.
Yeah. Does the RL make a difference whether he never got around to it or whether he had two brothers and died?
I think there's no difference. If he's an RL, he can't eat it.
So what about if I'm now going for surgery that day and I'm said I can't do the Pesach thing and the surgery? So could I, and I'm sending my messenger now.
But you could eat it. You're not tummy.
I'm saying I'm going for, because at that time
surgery,
that it's coming there,
surgery?
I'm going for circumcision. I'm going for
circumcision.
At that time, I'm sending, because I can't be in two places at one time. I send my shaliach with the korban.
Bagels and Erev Pesach?
I'm not sure. Okay. Of course.